The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to episode 12, everyone. If you just joined, I'm Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram. And this is Robin at A Tired Witch on Instagram.
Hello. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, for us, you might be listening to this at night in the afternoon, but it's morning for us. Like,
no,
really early
morning. I refuse. Everyone listens to this exclusively in the morning. Are new with us this week. Every week we talk about the upcoming lunar phase, and the nearest one coming up to us is the new moon in Leo, which is August 18th. So let's see, that will be about 11 days from when this podcast airs, which will be a refreshing break because the last two new moons have been in Cancer. And I know we talked about that last time, but are you done being sad yet?
Yes. Why? Yes, I am.
The new moon in Leo is a very good contrasting break as well because it, well, contrast twice in a row. Very nice, Robin. The emotional side of the new moon in Cancer to being much more fiery, much more confident, and just overall bold. This is a good time to hone in on that confidence that comes with the Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, with honing in on that confidence, we need to check ourselves and make sure that we are being confident, not cocky, because there is a difference. There is that fiery energy that comes with new moons in general. All of them are about fresh starts, right? New beginnings and a new page. And so with that, we're going to hone in that kind of fiery energy and that confidence. Overall, this is a great time to start new projects that are going to require growth. So this isn't something that is going to be a quick turnover project. It's going to be something mm-hmm. that you're going to have to nurture. Leo in general is connected with the strength card in tarot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the energy we want to be holding in when we are looking at these projects. These are something that we need to be passionate about, compassionate about, and also patient. Nothing that's going to happen real super quick.
Yeah.
So think of the strength card. Hone in that kind of nurturing but patient energy. And don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And don't be a dick, guys.
You know, when you're doing these like projects and stuff like that, think about, you know, we have two harvests coming up. We have Mabon and we have Samhain. Do you want to harvest for that next Sabbat?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Look at you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. What are you, like a professional?
I don't know. I like to think of myself as the supreme.
Oh,
just
true.
Kidding. That's
true.
Totally
true. You're no, the supreme. It's true. No, it's true, guys. She's the supreme. So, So yeah, focus in on setting intentions that are creative, but will take patience. Maybe you're going to start a new art project that is something that is going to take a while to master, or maybe you've been on the fence about starting that really small little Etsy shop or something. These are things that take time to grow. It's nothing that's going to happen overnight, and this would be a great time to focus on that energy. So go out there and make something, guys. Make something wonderful. Done. And then send me pictures because I want to see what you're making.
So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a random tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then our own interpretations of the cards. Hearing others' opinions helps beginners form their own opinions, and even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. This week, we are talking about the Knight of Cups. On the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, you see a knight holding up a cup while on their steed. The horse is kind of doing that pretty trotting people have them do when riding sometimes. I don't know what it's called, so don't mind me. There is a river flowing near our knight and some mountains in the background. The universal meaning of this card is someone who's a stereotypical knight in shining armor. You are being compassionate, inspiring those around you. Now, for myself, I view this card differently in a sense. The knights to me are about action, movement, and taking charge in their respective suits when they are upright. When this one in particular comes up in a reading, it is telling myself or my client that they need to do what makes them happy. They need to take charge of their happiness and battle for it. What they want will not freely be given to them. They must use real world energy in order to attain it, because that is what the knights symbolize. They are no longer the pages learning and taking in the world around them, and it is time for movement and to utilize what they know in order to go after what they want. So, Robin, dear, how do you view this card?
Well, it's so funny you should ask me that, because I have opinions. The Knight of Cups to me is, well, all knights, right, are kind of like saviors. Mm-hmm. They're like the princes of fairy tales, those sort of things. The Knight of Cups to me is the unrealistic kind of persona that we project onto potential partners when we are not in a place to accept love. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
like,
that makes total sense.
It's like, you know, like the manic pixie dream girl stuff where people kind of have an idea of what somebody is. The Knight of Cups is the manic pixie dream girl. She's got short bangs, and, you know, they romanticize her mania.
She's going to fix all of your problems while suffering in her own.
Yeah. The Knight of Cups to me is somebody who, well, when I say it's a person, right, is this kind of knight of the fairy tale endings. Sure, there is a lot of potential there for this knight being somebody that is going to be amazing and wonderful and is great partner, as all cups have the potential to do. But at least in my personal experience, the Knight of Cup typically comes up when you're romanticizing the idea of somebody versus who they actually are. And so to me, it's usually a red flag. We get this idea in our head of what we think someone's like based off of a variety of things. And then we project that onto people. And that's not fucking healthy. Nor is it the foundational building blocks to make something long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually your version of upright is how I view reverse. As we said, it's really funny, different views and stuff.
Yeah. See, when I get the card in reverse, it's instead of us projecting this idea onto somebody, it's this the somebody, so like the potential partner, lying to you about who they are. So it's like, to me, it's like the con man of love. They're trying to spin you a story. Where when it's in upright, we're spinning our own story in our head. It's just like kind of a role reversal for me, at least.
Yeah. I like that. I like your views.
Thanks.
Very good views.
Oh, thank you. I have the best views, the greatest views. Nobody's had views like me.
Hey now. I'm up there too.
You can just call me Robin Trump.
I am the supreme this episode.
Oh my
Robin
God.
Trump.
The greatest views. Nobody's had reviews on tarot cards like me. If you guys follow us on Twitter, I opened up our, well, I didn't open up our ass, it's Twitter, but I posted a tweet asking kind of topics that you guys might want to see covered here on the podcast. And one of the responses was talking about ethical crystal sourcing, which as somebody who sells crystals myself, I thought this was a super important topic and Maria agreed. So let's talk about crystals and why searching for ethical crystals is important. Words. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Hi. English is my first language. So as some of you might know, I sell crystals in my shop, and a huge point of importance for me as somebody, like, I care a lot about doing things ethically and fair trade and being as environmentally low impact as possible. It's something that I'm really, really passionate about. And so I was not going to carry anything in my shop that I didn't research to death. And yeah. Because of that, it became incredibly alarming how little wholesale suppliers there are that are ethically source that you can just ask them, hey, where'd you get this from? It's not out there. It's not that it's not out there. It obviously is out there. Like, I was able to find it, and I'm not trying to shade anybody and say that they're not doing it. Come shop with me. But what I am saying is that we need to be smart consumers. So let's talk about why that's important, shall we, Maria?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Crystals have become the new slave trade, 100%. They become the new equivalent of the blood diamonds. People in general are moving away from things like mined diamonds, much more, especially our generation, millennials, Gen Z.
They're trying to be a lot more mindful, but I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, well, they're not really thinking about, like, oh, I'm not buying blood diamonds, so Right. Let's buy this crystal ring.
Exactly. And our generation is moving away from diamonds, like, for engagement rings. You see a lot more, like, mm-hmm. I don't have a diamond on my ring. Like, you see a lot more people moving away from that, getting moissanites, getting opals and other fun ring stones. Mm-hmm. Not to say that all people are not doing that. I know you have a beautiful diamond ring.
So, I do. But
I'm not trying to suggest that people don't do that or that you shouldn't do that. But what I'm saying is in general, we are moving away from diamonds just as a high enough percentage that it's worth noting. And because of that, people think that if they don't get a diamond, that it's inherently ethically sourced. And that is just not true
at all.
Yeah, not true in the slightest bit. What it's done now is we have, actually, I'm going to straight up shade somebody. Audrey Kitching, fuck that bitch. She posted, she's got this massive following. If you don't know who she is, she was a MySpace scene queen who has become, I'm not trying to shade the transition. I was a scene queen. Maria was a scene queen.
So was I.
No shade here. But she was a MySpace scene queen who's now become a love and light. Think she's an ethereal being. I find the entire thing exhausting to even try to consume. But
it's a whole supreme thing. Yeah.
Massively. She's a massive component of, whether you realize this or not, of why crystal healing has become popularized, because she has a massive following. She got into crystal healing and now she's a part of that movement. Like, whether we like Audrey Kitching or not, she's a huge influence on modern day crystal healing because people were consuming her stuff and people want to be just like her. And now we've got this high demand for healing crystals that need to come from somewhere.
And people and companies are going to do this as cheaply as possible so that they make a huge ass profit off of our, you know, spiritual stuff.
Basically. Absolutely. 100%. And the thing is that ethically sourced crystals are always going to be more expensive. Always. I'll tell you guys straight up, usually in the seller market, you make about 200 to 300% profits on resale, right? Crystals, for myself, because I still want them to be affordable, but they're also ethically sourced, I'm only making about 40% profit, which is like not a lot, which is fine. Like, I'm not complaining.
And you're just starting out with crystals too.
Right. And there's a lot of research that goes into this. I'm very obnoxious about this in my own self. But what you need to consider is we have these crystal parties and stuff like that, which are amazing. Like, I love that for small businesses. Like, I love it for them so much. But I don't think it's harmful to ask where your crystals are coming from. And I know that I follow a lot of amazing crystal sellers that I can have that conversation with them. You know, where are you getting your crystals from? And they'll tell you. And that's amazing and open and transparent and honest. Then there's also like Etsy shops that say that their crystals are ethically sourced. And, you know, from all my research, some of that shit in their shop, it's like, I doubt it.
Yes. Like, especially like you can find crystals on like Amazon and stuff. Like, I wouldn't trust Amazon as far as I could throw them. So,
yeah, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You could probably even buy crystals on Walmart.com. Let's not test the water here, guys.
I mean, especially when you consider crystal healing is a very love and light approach to things, which... I mean, we all know how I feel about that phrase, but regardless.
Yeah, spiritual it's love bypassing. And
light, very love and light approach. It's not very love and light to be like blood diamonding your tourmaline. like it's that, you know what I mean? That it's counterintuitive for what you want. They're not conflict free. A lot of them too, they do like dynamite mining or what's that called with the high pressure water?
Oh gosh, I couldn't even tell you. But I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. High pressure water
the side of a mountain to get like they used to do it in the gold rush days because I'm from California, so I know all about that. And that became like incredibly illegal because it's horrendous for the environment. Like, it's so bad. Like, the land cannot recover from that kind of mining for, like, 400 years.
Yes, 100%.
It just depletes the land entirely. And so not only do we have to ask the question of, is it ethically fair trade sourced, right? So the people involved in mining these crystals for you. But then we need to take the step of asking, how is it sourced? Is it... you know, coming from short supply chains of like a couple of people that are, you know, going out there and just doing a few mines themselves and then bringing it back to sell? Or is this like power washing the side of the earth and picking up the stones?
Yeah. And then like even considering, you know, you got to think about the labor that they're using. Are they using children, especially those in like not so great, you know, people in communities and situations in their countries. And, you know, you don't, that's just, it's horrible to think that, you know, your child, a child mined this like quartz for you. That's horrible.
Are they being paid fair wages? Are they given proper safety equipment? I mean, most of these people are going underground, just like, you know, coal mining. Are they given, you know, hard hats? Are they given respirators? Like of the healing crystals that we get contain silica in it. And when you're mining, silica dust goes up and it can cause lung disease. So, like, these are important things to just, like, I'm not saying that your seller is going to be able to tell whether or not the miners, you know, were wearing the proper rebreathers to avoid lung disease. But what I am saying is that they should be able to give you an idea of whether or not their stuff is actually ethically traded and be able to let you know, like, how it's sourced. I know that my wholesale supplier literally goes and gets it themselves. Like, they mine it. They're like, have like a team of 20 that are in the shop and they go out and mine them themselves. That's also why I can't carry a lot of different things in my shop, because they go get it themselves. That's why it comes in waves. But, you know, other people, like, ask them, where does it come from? It's not, you, the consumer, have so much power in, you know, the way things, the world works. Because if you start asking questions and lots of people start asking questions and you're not getting the right answers and stop buying from them, they're going to go find new practices. They're going to find stuff to get you to stay there. And so there's a lot of power in being a consumer.
Yeah, definitely. And then, like, another really great way to get crystals that have been responsibly sourced is to go to state parks that have, like, caves. Sometimes you can even hunt for your very own. The cave my wife and I went to while we were in California last year had crystals and had information about exactly where they came from. And most of them was from the U.S. And they're... there's like so many of these places around, you'd be really surprised. And so I definitely recommend doing some Googling in order to hunt some down. And it's honestly one of my favorite ways to get crystals, because not only have you been out exploring nature all day by going to a state park, you're also getting to bring home a responsibly sourced crystal. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It's really amazing. Like, I think it's incredible. And there's so much you guys can do, little things to change stuff. The main one is just consume passionately, consume like with knowledge, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, you know, that bullshit saying that the customer is always right. In this case, especially, you have the right to ask that question. You have the right to say, hey, you know, where are you getting these from? Like, are your things ethical? And don't accept just, yes, it's ethically sourced. Yes, my stuff's ethically. I mean, I'm sorry. There are so many goddamn Etsy's out there that are just like ethically sourced crystals. And it's like, no, are they? Because I'd like to know who your supplier is. Like, I call bullshit.
Yeah. And if you're like spending all this money on crystals, I mean, the amount of money you're spending, you're allowed to ask these questions.
Right. And especially just, if you're practicing healing, crystal healing, which a lot of us do. And it's very like, you know, using the power of the earth, et cetera. Like, how is that going to help you to hone in the power of the earth and, you know, these magical, mystical things that are crystals when they were consumed so unethically? Like, think about the universe. Think about the, you know, elemental energies, etc. And is it not completely contradictory to have to ask for energy from something from the earth that was consumed by being so damaging to the planet? Like,
I completely agree.
Yeah. So consider where you get your stuff from, guys. Genuinely, be a, I don't know, constructive consumer.
Mindful consumer.
So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Okay. So in our Patreon and Discord, we have been discussing tarot. Like, we've been going through the major arcana and diving into how the cards connect with one another. I have found that doing current event readings really helps newer readers develop their skills when it comes to reading, which has been so amazing to see, especially with our lovely Discord members, you know, utilizing it in that way. Mm-hmm. It really helps develop the storytelling aspect of the cards, which is basically seeing how they connect to one another. And, you know, that's what they've been focusing on, and doing readings for, you know, doing readings for others. You aren't, when you're not quite comfortable yet with your abilities, it can be really nerve-wracking as a new reader. And so, and if you have been having problems connecting with cards, doing readings for yourself, it can be confusing. And current event readings helps eliminate both of those pressures and helps you focus on something from an outsider's perspective. It's not like your views of the cards isn't going to hurt someone else. It's not going to like confuse someone else. It's not going to confuse yourself. Well, maybe, but in the book Advanced Tarot Secrets by Dusty White, he even recommends pulling cards while watching the news, which can be also a fun and insightful exercise to do.
Yeah.
But and things to keep in mind when doing these types of readings is that your experience with these current events is going to be front and center. So your spreads may vary from someone else's. And for myself, I do these readings when I need clarity on a situation, and also when I really want to do a reading, but I have nothing really to focus on for myself. So it's really, yeah, it's just, it's a great way to see how the cards connect to one another and to learn to trust your intuition and see how it plays out with the news.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. We've also been doing, like going through one card at a time and pairing it with a random one, which I think has been awesome as well. Did you say that?
Yes, I completely agree. I think I
did I miss out on that? I'm sorry. I love that. I think it's great. I think it's a super good skill. And I think that even if you are like pairing them together, so the current events, and then when you have your cards laid out, right, picking an additional card at random and then just interpreting each one for what it is, I think is a good skill to have in general. And it forces you to think outside the box and forces you to situationally think about what that card would mean. I think it's brilliant. I think we are brilliant.
It's just, I think just having that, like, after doing so many like a current event readings, you get more comfortable and being like, you know what? I got this as a reader. I understand what these cards are trying to tell me. And so when you do a reading for someone else, you're going to have that confidence to back yourself up.
Yeah. When you transition.
And
I love it.
Yeah. I think that's really important.
I agree.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
I'm so glad you asked. What's not stirring my cauldron this week is my own bad attitude and the fact that everybody else seems to be feeling the same way.
Not all of us.
Yes, you. No, actually, this isn't a podcast. This is an intervention. You've been a rape dick. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
Your friends and family are here to tell you how your bad attitude has affected them. I'll start. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's my own bad attitude. We've been talking about it again in the Discord, and it seems like everybody is kind of just, the energy of this last full moon has just kind of affected everybody in a very intense sort of way, if that makes sense. And I know that I've been basically like manic for two straight days. Like I was talking to my best friend about it, and I was just like, I don't know what my deal is, because I'm not somebody who suffers with mania at all. I can be a bit scattered, but like mania and being a bit scattered are very different. I was like not sleeping and was just generally kind of an asshole. There was, I mean, obviously more to it than that when I'm describing it as mania, but that's personal and I'm not going to get too into it. So, but overall speaking, my bad attitude, everybody else's bad attitude, and just whatever the fuck is going on that has got everybody being a massive dick, myself included. It's been a lot.
It's so funny how moons affect us all differently. I mean, besides being on my moon, it was a pretty chill moon for myself. Maybe it's because my wife's moon is an Aquarius cusp. So I've spent 13 years with that type of energy. But some moons, though, you know, I sleep like absolute crap the whole week before it hits. And then the day before the moon, it can feel like my world is spinning out of control, no matter how much grounding I do and how much like mindfulness I, you know, try to extrude. But
that was me this last week. And the thing is, though, that never happens to me. Like,
I feel like it happens to me every other moon.
The full moon, for me at least, usually maybe I'll sleep a little bit bad at night during the full moon. But my attitude is, like, totally fine, normal, you know, even keeled self. But for whatever reason, this fucking full moon, man, I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know. Like, I've been just scattered and all over the place and just kind of a jerk.
Now you know, like, when the moon comes around and I'm like being crazy,
you guys, hey, she's making excuses for future abusive behaviors to me. Please, everyone, are you listening? Please. She's making excuses. In the future, she'll be like, I warned you, I'm just like this. When the moon comes out, I don't know what to tell you.
So rude. I am like the picture perfect supreme, especially this episode. I mean,
true. True. It's true. I can't even argue with it. It's, you are the supreme. I couldn't believe it because I'm normally not like this at all. I'm normally not like this at all. I am a very patient person just in general in life. Maria can attest for my patience and the fact that
you have, way more than me.
I am more than a very patient person. I am. And that's why if you cross that line with me, like, you really fucked up. And my patience was like scraping the barrel, to say the least. It was my poor husband could not even look at me without me being like, what do you want? And I'm not like coming on my cycle or anything. I've just been in a really bad mood and like all over the place and like super just like my energy's been like everywhere. It's been like really, really high to like really, really low to really, really high. And like yeah, and I'm like, I'd like to preface that I do not have like lithium problems or like bipolar disorder. Not to knock anybody who does, but that's why it was such an alarming thing for me, because I don't experience these sort of behaviors at all in my normal life. And mental health is not a joke. I'm not trying to make a joke of it. I'm starting to say like that this was very unusual for me. At least in our Discord, it seemed like everyone going through something similar. Precisely. And it wasn't like that herd mentality where it's like, is anybody else feeling this right now? It was like we were individually talking about experiences, and then somebody finally was like, wait a minute. Everybody's basically describing the same thing.
Well, I have good news for you. Because usually following such a crazy ass moon like you've experienced, the new moon is going to be so blissful and wonderful.
It
always, after a super intense full moon, the new moon rolls around and it feels like there's this whole sense of renewal and like, I got this. Okay. Things are okay. It's going to be okay.
I need that for me really bad because it was crazy. I felt like I couldn't get anything right. Like, I was like, I get really overwhelmed when I can't process things how I feel I should be processing them. And I was like on the verge of tears for like 2 days straight because I was just like, what is happening? But I'm fine now. For anybody listening to this who might be concerned about me, I'm fine now. It's past. Thank you so much for your care and concern. I love you so much. Kisses for you. Yeah. So no more of that. No more new moon or full moons in Aquarius. Thank you. Ever again. Never again.
I don't mind them. I don't mind them. Just never again. Let's just have some more. Let's just have some more.
Some more, please. Don't be shy.
Just kidding. I hate how it affects my work life. I hate it. I hate it so much. Thank you.
Finally. Finally, this is about me. Everybody's listening, like, Robin, you have nonstop talk for the last 30 fucking minutes. It's always about you. Well, you know what? Poop on you. That's what I have to say to that. So if you are new here, every episode we talk about creators that we're loving right now. This could be anybody from an artist to a small business, blogger, you name it. That being said, I know we say this every time and some of you are probably sick of hearing it, but please do not message us asking to be featured on here. It's not going to happen. You're going to get blocked and that's going to make me sad. Instead, these creators are people that we have organically found on our own. And don't be that guy. Nobody likes that guy. We don't like that guy. Yeah. Don't be that guy. That being said, Maria, what is your first shop? Who are you loving?
Okay. So on Instagram, you will know her as Rain. There's like a period between the R and the A, but on Etsy, which is her shop, it's Rain. Yeah. Rain Alexandria Art on Etsy. And just basically she creates these like gorgeous wood burn creations, and she gets the wood from basically she lives out in the middle of like a big forest. So she gathers like fallen wood and stuff like that and makes these. And
that's really cool.
They're just, it's stunning. Yeah. And there's like little fairies wood burned into like logs where you could put like incense, and she makes boxes, coasters. She even made a tarot deck out of wood. Like, what? Not tarot deck, sorry. Like oracle deck. I mean, it's only like
fucking cool.
Yeah, it's like 10 cards made out of wood. I mean, that's really cool. That's really interesting. Really cool. What a unique idea.
I've never even seen that. I'm going to have to look that up because I never, yeah. Well, listen, my fucking card hoarding ass. I will find it.
And then she also like does these resin pieces that like as necklaces where she has like mushrooms she's found and flowers and it's like in the wood. And she even had at one point these coasters that had that, and they're just like cute, like little windows into nature. I mean, they were freaking beautiful.
That sounds beautiful. I think her stuff is really cool. I like just her general aesthetic as well. She has like this really beautiful lavender hair, and all of her posts kind of hold that theme, that like lavender-esque theme. So like just as a creator as well, like her shop totally aside, I think her Instagram is really pretty.
Her Animal Crossing village too is beautiful.
Oh my God. And her Animal Crossing is so amazing.
Let's get back to the important things, guys. Oh my Christ. But yeah, her stuff is amazing, and I love her store. And one day I will get a piece and it will be in my house. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It will be mine. So, Robin, what store are you liking?
I am obsessed with glass art in general. What are they called? Like stained glass art, you know, that you hang up on your window and stuff. Completely obsessed, firstly. Secondly, same. I'm obsessed with Lockhart glass just in general. They do this amazing thing. It's like stained glass what are they called? You know when you like when you have a door that is just like the arch but not a door? What's the word I'm thinking of here?
It's trivet, right? Is it a trivet?
Yeah. Trivet? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, yeah, maybe they do these stained
glass. Someone is like, no, that is not what they are.
Not archaeologists. Listen to my ass. Our architecture listeners are like, that is incorrect. But they make these like for the corners of those door frames. Door frame is also a word for it. Thank you. Again, English is my first language. They make these like glass art corner pieces basically for door frames. And yes, they are, and they're beautiful. So fucking beautiful. They do ones that are like crystals and some that are like flowers, or they had at least a spiderweb one.
They had a freaking moon and clouds one that gorgeous. Oh my god.
They have like just so many cool ones. I want them so freaking bad. I've tried to buy some of their pieces when they go live. Because they're one of those shops, you know, where they all pre-make stuff and then it goes live to sell. And I've never been quick enough. And I've been trying for 2 years.
What is and with not you in these stores?
Listen
what
to me. Listen to me, Maria. You need to have several seats, okay? Okay, I'm obsessed with them, okay?
You're obsessed with hard-to-get things.
I am. If it's something that I have to be, like, orderly to get and quick, I'm going to want it, and I'm never going to achieve that to get it. It's never going to happen. I just, untangible. But their shop's incredible, and they sell, like, little things, too, like, little crescent moon planter pins. I think that's what they're called.
So cute.
They've got like a little pole.
They're like
you
stakes,
can put them in your planter.
Right?
Stake?
Stakes. A stake.
Not a planter pin. A stake. A stake. I'm like making up a word here to like make it make sense. And you're like, it's a stake, you dumb bitch.
God, Robin. Get it right.
Very cute.
We're professional
here. Very unintelligent woman. So thank you all for coming to my TED Talk. There's the door. This shop is incredible. You guys should genuinely look it up. You should look at the door frame little corner pieces that they make and then buy me one when it becomes live. And I will cherish you forever. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say I'll cherish you forever. So quickest way to my heart, door frame art.
Door frame.
Thank you guys so much for joining us this week, and we hope that we will see you for the next episode on August 21st for our 13th episode, which 13, it might be a little spooky. Time will tell. Keep your eyes out on our Instagrams and our Twitter. If you're not already following us there, it's Coffee Cauldrons for more information.
Or even better, joining us on our Discord level tier, which is First Coven, on our Patreon, so we can answer your questions for next time.
You'll even get to hear our lovely voices for an additional 30 minutes. And we added an extra tier, the casting tier, for if you just want to listen to part two of the episode. If you just want to listen to the part two podcast, there is now a tier for you. Tier that isn't just support us and up, you get to listen to us for 30 more minutes.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from @atiredwitch on Instagram
and Maria from Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
All right, you ready? Okay. To countdown?
So you ready? Yeah, let's do it.
One,
two, three.
Bye. That was really good.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.